our podcast.
Okay, so we should really start.
We should start.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to Ghost to Show You. Me and Lillian have had a few false starts already to this very episode.
Yeah, we're new to this form of ghost podcasting.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is the ghost in the machine, if you will.
Yes, Emily.
Yes.
Yeah, we're zooming at you live. Not really live, but...
No, dead.
Doe.
come on. I got a million of them.
Get out of here, huh?
Come on.
Yeah, so we're just going to hang out, tell some ghost stories that you, our listeners, have sent in, and kind of have like a little hangout, you know? You guys
can
have a cocktail, start your fireplace a roaring, you know, get some spooky vibes going. Release all the bats that you have in the cages. Just let them out.
Just let them out. Just let the bats out.
Yeah, for once.
I don't know why. I just remembered I have these spooky silhouettes, these stamps that I bought.
Oh, those
and
are
by the
cool.
way, yeah, I bought them from my local post office. I'm in upstate New York currently, and they had these. And I guess something happened where they bought them for Halloween last year, and people bought all of them, all the stamps. And then they reordered them, but like everybody had already bought the, you know, everybody had already reached capacity for spooky stamps. So they just had them and then they were not seasonal. So I bought them.
That's the saddest. Fun. That's the saddest story I've ever heard. Those are really cool. I didn't know they were stamps. I thought they were just stickers. They're delightful, spooky Halloween. They look like stained glass stamps.
Yes. Yeah, and they have the guy at the post office told me that he liked the foil backing because they're kind of like metallic, and all of them are silhouettes that are in windows, and there's one that has two ghosts, one that has bats, one has a spider, and one has a cat and a crow. So
imagine.
This one is lucky what's... listener might get a letter from me with a send me your home address.
This is the level of content we're stooping is just telling you guys about stamps. what else we got? Anyone got sort of a coin collection we can remark upon? That would be great.
You know what? My dad has a great coin collection.
Well, have him on as a guest. You know, we'll have him on next week.
Yeah, we'll just talk about because my dad has a lot of collections. That's where I get my Pat Rack tendencies from. Is my dad, Dr. Hockman.
Shout out
Dr. Hockman, who is on the front lines of this pandemic. And he does listen to the podcast, I believe. Both of my parents support everything I do a lot.
That's incredible.
That's very nice.
That must be nice. That must be nice.
I wasn't a shot at you, Lillian.
Okay. No, that's fine. Absolutely cool with me.
I'm a little tipsy.
No, that's great. Yeah. As in keeping with the theme of our podcast.
Yeah, keeping with tradition.
How have you been feeling spooky upstate?
A little spooky upstate, yeah. Okay. I mean, it is spooky to be out in the middle of the woods and it feels pretty isolated. I mean, I'm towards the end of a dead-end street, a very long, it's like a two-mile road. And I'm just straight up, on a mountain. I mean, there are people, you know, there's other neighbors and stuff.
Sure.
We're feuding with one of our neighbors, but anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very dark out here at night.
You're going to do kind of a modern day Hatfield and McCoy.
Yes. Yeah. I've already used that as a reference point for what I'm doing with, I mean, it's the most obvious reference you can make to neighbor.
You should try to conjure the spirits and ask for advice. Just have to pick a good side. I don't know which ones were the winning team.
Yeah, I don't know who won with Hatfields versus McCoys.
Hatfield v. McCoy, huge Supreme Court case. Just kidding, it wasn't. Okay, but something to think about.
But it is something to think about. No, but I'm good. It is somewhat spooky up here. I got a dog recently. I adopted a dog, as you know. And if you follow me on social media, you definitely know because I post about it all the time now. Because what else?
I love it.
What else am I going to do?
Yeah.
But she will just randomly bark at the door And, you know, I'll joke with my husband that it's because she sees a ghost, that there's a ghost just like walking, because it's a glass door. The front door is just a glass door.
No, that is horrifying. No.
But I don't really think that's what, I mean, I actually think she's just being stupid and just barking at nothing, but who knows?
Yeah, definitely say that to yourself.
Definitely.
In the middle of the night.
Lie to yourself. Yeah. What's going on with you, Lil? Are you being spooky back in Queens?
Back in the epicenter of our plague. Yeah, it's a little bit spooky. here in New York City, I would say. a lot of, you know, actual real-time horrors, if you will.
I will.
But, you know, it's tough because we're quarantined. You know, I don't think my apartment's haunted. Where else am I going to encounter a ghost? You know, at the grocery store, the only other place I'm allowed to go? Mm. I don't think so. So,
notoriously, you know, not haunted.
Yeah. I mean, although I did read about a market basket in Massachusetts that was haunted. That's pretty.
You
that's
did?
Pretty, yeah. Which is like, if you can imagine a market basket being fucking haunted, which I can, it's great stuff.
Haunted by the one time the Pats lost.
Oh.
The Super Bowl.
Deflategate. She was just saying Deflategate over and over again. anyways, yeah, so no, nothing spooky for me. I've been just kind of like trying to get my spooky content, do a little research for the podcast, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. Now I'm obsessed with this couple, Dana and Greg Newkirk, who are professional, whatever that means, paranormal investigators, and they have a traveling paranormal museum. They go to all the conventions. They're a husband and wife team. I find them to be fascinating. I was like, that's the life.
How'd you come across them?
I think Greg followed us on Twitter and I saw that he was connected to the paranormal.
Guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, and then I also saw that there's this, I was so bummed because there was this huge paranormal convention in New Jersey that we just missed, obviously because of the pandemic or whatever, you know, but I was like, that would be so fucking cool to go to fucking New Jersey and talk to a bunch of weirdos about ghosts and UFOs and whatever.
A bunch of our peers.
Yeah. Our colleagues in this.
Yeah, our colleagues. Because honestly, we're pretty professional too, I would say.
I would say so. And, yeah, so I'm checking out those people, and I'm doing research on all the gear. I can't wait to get back out in the field with you.
Listen, I am dying for the day.
Yeah.
When we get back out in the field together.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the best memories I have are being out in the field with you, just really getting our hands dirty, rolling our sleeves up.
Doing the work.
And just doing the work.
Yeah.
Of not finding ghosts.
Totally.
As it were. Not yet.
I'd say we're the most honest ghost hunters out there, if you want to.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, I mean.
We all know.
Shit on our colleagues, but I have seen some of those ghost hunting shows, and I'm like, there's no way that there's activity every single time you film a show.
Totally, yeah.
It's like, you guys are grasping at straws, and we are grasping for the straws that are in our alcoholic beverages. You know
what
I'm
saying? And there's a difference. That's the difference, boys. And that's the difference.
And that's the ghost to show you difference.
And guarantee. Yeah.
Did you see that Jordan DM'd us about she has like a piece of ghost hunting equipment.
Yeah. I love that people are reaching out while they're at home cleaning out their closets. Our friend Jordan, who's a great photographer, found a great piece of equipment for us, which I can't wait to put in use as soon as possible. It's like an EKG thing or whatever, which is what I was going to buy. I mean, we've been fantasizing, folks, about really upping the ghost to show you game, getting our real gear out there for the next one. So we got some good stuff coming, you know.
Definitely.
Sure.
I really want that bear.
Yeah, there's a bear that
talks
stuffed bear.
To ghosts.
That talks to ghosts. So it has all the gear inside of it. It's genius. Mm. You can slip
Tricks
it in
the
and
ghosts. The ghosts
Tricks
think
the
it's
ghosts.
Just a bear. They talk to the bear. All of a sudden, boom, you're caught.
Bunch of gotcha. Fucking idiots. Bunch of idiots. And then we have a great episode that we've been very slowly working on. Emily's doing the dirty work of going through a lot of the audio, but we went to a really cool place in LA, so we have a full episode coming eventually for you guys. So
it's coming along. Yeah. I have been pretty slow, but it's coming. So that's something to look forward to for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the LA one was kind of wild and weird, so I'm excited to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too, actually. Me too.
So those are the updates. That's what's going on with us. We hope you all are hanging in there and, you know, I don't know, being chill as hell.
Yeah, we hope that you guys are being chill as hell. And feel free to reach out if you are having any ghost experiences while in quarantine. I saw somebody on Twitter tweeted it out, like, if you guys are quarantined in a haunted house, reach out to me. And I don't know to what end this person was doing that, but yeah, that's something to think about, that like ghosts might be annoyed if you do live in a haunted house and then you're just home all the time and they were like, we'd really appreciate our space.
Right. Yeah, we should definitely bully that person who is doing
that.
Bully
that person. So if you're listening to this and you know who I'm talking about, go ahead and tweet at them.
Like,
just
if you can get a personal address, like a physical address too, that would be...
dox that person. Absolutely. Yeah.
Send a bunch of pizzas to that person's house in our name, please.
Yeah. Do a couple ding-dong ditches if you can. that'll show her.
That'll show her.
Anyway, don't do any of that stuff, obviously.
No, please don't.
We know that our rabidly devoted fans are ready at the drop of a hat to just harass any person tweeting about ghosts, but
this time,
I'm calling off the dogs.
Yeah, calling them off.
This time, no. Next time, be ready. all right, so should we jump in and read some stories?
Yeah, let's read some ghost stories that y'all very generously typed out and sent us, and thank you for that. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Why don't you go first? So we've got four stories that were sent in to us, three by people that we know and one by someone we don't know, but they're all great stories. So right now be a good time. If you want to go get a drink, you can pause the episode and then come back and listen to these ghost stories.
Yeah, totally. okay. I'm glad that you have your drink. settle in, pal, or buckle up. Okay, so this first one, as it were, there's no title, but whatever. Okay, so this is a ghost story from Pam. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam.
Okay. Thank you, Pam. Okay, my high school boyfriend, Sean, that's quotation marks, lived in an extremely haunted house in a small rural Massachusetts town. When I drove my Jeep over to pick him up for the first time, in the driveway, the wind blew through the car as soon as I pulled in. It was like that every single time I drove to the house. I always had to blast the music, and I told him that his driveway really creeped me out. He very matter-of-factly said, "Oh yeah, my house is haunted," like it was NBD. His whole family just acknowledged it and moved on with their lives. I walked from the kitchen and through the weird colonial hallway to head to the dining room. The hall had low ceilings and a large mirror on the far wall. I looked up for a split second and saw a woman with long hair and a white nightgown looking directly at me in the mirror.
No, okay. Thank you.
That's an editorial note. No. Okay. she was a wispy white gray color with long brown hair. I don't know how long she was there for because I ran the fuck away. And Sean was in the dining room. He looked up and said, "Oh, did you see the woman in the hallway?" And he had never mentioned her to me before. So my belief was solidified and then some.
Sean, what the hell are you doing? This is important information to share with your girlfriend.
Give a girl a heads up. Okay. He said she mostly shows up to women, but always in that hallway. I hesitantly followed Sean back into the kitchen where his mom, very calm and normal, said, "Oh yeah, she shows up once in a while. You know how it is. Did you want a sandwich?"
You know how it is.
you know these ghosts.
It's nice that she offered her a sandwich though.
Yeah. I mean, when you're scared, what more could you want? over the years, Sean would tell me all of the ghost stories and happenings from the house. Because the house is so deeply haunted, I feel it might be easier to give a historical timeline. I saw the young woman in the hallway, so therefore I 100% believe all the following to be true. These are just a couple notes about the past of the house, which were interesting and read like a perfect fucking movie. Okay. Sean's grandmother bought the colonial farmhouse in the 70s from a hippie couple that were desperate to sell because of the hauntings. They kept the windows open and tried several seances and psychic mediums, but nothing worked. The couple's main complaint was children running and playing in the halls. The children were also heard by Sean and his family, mostly when his mother was a child and then again when Sean was little. If they opened the curtains and let the light in, the children were more likely to return. Interesting. When Sean's grandmother bought the house, the hippie couple gave her a photo to show her proof of the hauntings. In the picture, there was a man in Civil War attire looking through the third floor window, but the couple had taken the picture. Sean's family then looked into the history of the house and found that a man named Nathaniel used to live there during the Civil War and may have been a soldier. When Sean moved into his room to the third floor, his bathroom faucets would turn on and off. Sometimes the tub would be full when he came home. His TV would turn on and off. Sean blamed Nathaniel and would talk to him as a friend and tell him to cut it out. I theorize that something fucking terrible happened to this family, and they sure as shit don't want us to forget about them.
Ooh.
Thanks, Pam. That's a very classic haunting.
Yes, definitely.
New England, Civil War, old lady in a nightgown.
Oh, yeah, the nightgown is classic.
Oof.
I mean, what stands out to me in that story is that Sean, well, one of the things is that Sean's grandma, or yeah, Sean's grandma bought the house knowing that it was haunted. I love that the couple that owned the house disclosed that it was haunted to the people that were going to buy it.
Right.
That's kind of great.
I mean, if that's really true and they were like, listen, we're moving out because it's haunted. Like, would you move into a house if someone were like, we're selling it because it's haunted?
You know, it's funny, actually, because listening to the story made me remember that a couple of years ago, Jamie and I were looking to move, and we we did end up moving to not this place, but we were looking at this like very fancy high-tech house that this guy had built with like heated floors and all this shit, and I had said at the time that it was very sterile. I think it was in Fort Greene, and right next door was this really old house, which I found out later had been built in like 1800, and it's a historical landmark. It looks like a plantation house that's just in the middle of Brooklyn. It's right near the BQE, and we walked out of the house that we had just taken a tour of, and the woman who owned the house next door, the old one, was outside, and we walked up, and you know, it had a for sale sign, and she was like, oh, well, the realtor's not here, but I can just show you around. And so we looked around this house, and it seemed very haunted. And I asked her straight up, I was like, is this house haunted? And she goes, oh yeah, you know, it is haunted, but I didn't see the ghost for 2 years. And then she admitted that she had sublet the house for the 2 years that she didn't see the ghost.
Oh my God!
But she said that she used to see a woman at the top of the stairs, and she thought it was a woman who was waiting for her husband to come back from like the sea or something. I forget why she thought that, like a sailor?
A classic widow's walk, yeah.
Yeah, and then she told this woman that she told the ghost, like, he's not coming back, or whatever. She was like, he's not coming back, like, go free, go move on.
Yeah.
And then she said that shortly after that, she saw a sailor, like the ghost of a sailor had come back or something.
Interesting.
Yeah,
this woman sounds like a real kook.
She was absolutely a kook, and I couldn't help but think that her realtor probably didn't want her telling people this. Like, the realtor was like, babe, we got to get this house sold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was probably haunted. Like I said, it was built in 1800. It looked so out of place in Brooklyn. It was so old and
wild.
Weird. And there was a mirror at the bottom of the stairs, and Jamie's old business manager who was with us said something like, oh, people put up mirrors sometimes because ghosts like don't like seeing themselves in mirrors or something. I don't know if that's true.
I mean, but same, you know, same, babe.
Yeah. Been there. Anyway. yeah, that made me think of that. But that's a great story. That's awesome. And I love it. I always love people being nonchalant about ghosts. Like, yes, there's a ghost. Like, do you want a sandwich?
I know. That's so interesting. That's like, that's also a very New England way to handle everything, you know?
Right. You brush everything under the rug, yeah, including ghosts.
And your feelings, ghosts, whatever it is.
Yeah. We're not talking about it. When oh, no, that's not a New England accent. I'm sorry. That's New York.
No, but it, yeah, it could, it might as well be. Okay, what's your story?
Well, that's great. Okay, so yeah. My first story was sent in by Kathy.
Okay.
And it's been slightly edited for clarity, but not really very much. So, the building we bought to turn into our dog and cat kenneling business was previously a veterinary practice for many years. Prior to that, I don't know whether anything stood on the property, but I suspect it did. A homestead house of Maine, perhaps, because it was on a major road. Okay, so she's saying she doesn't know if there was a structure on the property before that, but she suspects probably there was a homestead. Immediately after taking possession of the structure and walking through it, I felt apprehension going down a flight of stairs to the large cellar, which had been previously used for storage. It was a feeling of hair standing on end of my arms at the foot of the stairs. The kind that makes you keep swiftly turning around as if someone is staring at you. I spent 5 months living there, 24 hours a day, until the building addition was completed. Walking through the place, particularly when alone, with no superfluous noise or distractions, I continued to have the same uneasy, who's there feeling. So much so that I would not leave the room where I slept at night, whether hungry or thirsty. Always, it was passing through the kitchen, where the cellar door stairs are located, that raised the most hackles, something similar to a cold sweat. I guess that's what hackles are.
Cool.
Before the business opened, I insisted that we have a shaman come in and cleanse the building. He arrived and wanted to start from the bottom up. We went to the cellar, and I asked him whether he had any ill sense. He replied that yes, actually, at the foot of the stairs, where it met the cellar floor, he felt something not good. I had said nothing to him about why we wanted the building ritually cleansed.
Okay.
The shaman went through the building with his sweet grass, which is sage, and rituals to every corner before he left. Whether psychologically or metaphysically, I no longer felt fear, anxiety, or apprehension. But every several months later, an employee would mention, without prior knowledge or prompting, an eerie feeling in the kitchen, particularly and most strongly while descending the cellar stairs. These people did not even know the person who had mentioned it before, nor has every member of the staff felt it, maybe half have. Each time someone said they felt creepy, I would go back into the building when no one else was there after work and, with sweetgrass, perform the ritual as best I could all over again. It seemed to last for several months at a time, but always a weird feeling returned ultimately. It's been 15 years, and I continue to this day for the same reason, continue to do the ritual to this day. Damn. For the same reason. If someone says, quote, something feels weird, I know it's time to burn sage again. Last Sunday, I was there alone in the afternoon painting kitchen cabinets during the slow time during COVID. So this is very recent. And I had the tap water running for about 4 minutes to clean paint pans and brushes and a few bowls left in the sink. Then went off to do a load of laundry and returned, maybe 20 minutes later, to start painting. In all, close to a half hour had passed since I'd turned off the water. While I was sitting on the floor painting the lower cabinets, the tap water began to run slowly. I had that hair on the arms sensation again. But this time, rather than opt for fight or flight, I simply, calmly, and perhaps stupidly, just started talking as if the water indicated a presence. I acknowledged it. Within seconds, maybe five, the water flow increased. Piqued and encouraged by this, I spoke out loud to the presence that I'd been aware of it for many years and would like to know it better, but wanted to do so without fear. Just as quickly, the water slowed to a trickle. Almost not believing what was happening, I then said something like, "If I'm talking to you, please give me a strong indication." The water flowed immediately again. All of this took place very, very quickly, perhaps in the space of 2 or 3 minutes. I told the presence I was no longer afraid and that it shouldn't be either. I said I wanted to get to know / understand it better, but was now going to turn off the water so I could concentrate on the painting. I did just that. Finished a cabinet door and left as reasonably fast as I could. I thought about the event on the drive home and realized that instead of feeling frightened, I felt almost comforted. Elated might be a better word. No fear, just kind of wow. I'll continue to try this again next time I'm there alone this coming weekend. I do not expect anything else to occur, but will let you know if it does.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where you can think of a million reasons. Like, it's like, yeah, sellers are scary. Maybe you're just, maybe that's what the mind naturally.
Psychosomatic.
Yeah. Like, that's what happens, you know? And some people like are more sensitive to that than others. But I mean, I don't know. That seems like a pretty strong feeling.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, she had a sort of breakthrough right before she sent the story where she was communicating and the water was, you know, getting really coming in really fast. And then, or I don't know what a better way to say that is.
Yeah.
Water rushed and then, you know, ebbed and flowed.
That's brave of her to fucking engage.
Yes. Well, I know this person, and this person I would say is fairly in tune. She has a couple other stories. I know that for sure. So, but it's crazy to me that she's been there for 15 years, you know, and maybe only just recently started talking to the spirit. Cause I've heard stories of people, you know, saying to a spirit either like, please stop scaring me, or, hey, it's okay. Just, you know, whatever, just saying things and the spirit listening or things changing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the way to go, I guess.
Yeah.
But I know that feeling. I mean, we've all had that feeling of feeling like you're being watched or hair standing up on the back. I mean, it's like,
totally.
You're responding to something, and, you know, who can say what it is, whether or not you believe it's a spirit or just some other kind of like thing that you're taking in unconsciously. Yeah. But yeah, it's a real fucking feeling. So
totally. And the fact that multiple staff members of hers have felt it without her, you know, that is always validating when other people say the same thing. That makes it, totally. I mean, like Manute said, like on our last episode, when Manute was living there and he thought he was crazy, but then other people came into his apartment and they were like, I saw a man over there. You know, it's validating. And it also makes you be like, oh, fuck, like this thing that I might have been able to write off to being, you know, whatever, just a figment of my imagination is actually real because other people are seeing it and feeling it.
Right. Double-edged ghost sword. I call it. That's what I call it.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Let me tell my next story.
Mm-hmm.
My next tale of terror. Okay.
I'm excited.
Yeah, this one's good. I know this person is one of my dearest friends, and she is a true fucking freak and definitely feels shit that not everyone feels. Okay. So this is from Sarah. So this is my scariest ghost. I have a few others, but this one was really the one that freaked me out good. she does. She was like, I didn't go into the whole spiritual dream story I have. I was like, all right, dude. Okay.
Save for the next one.
Yeah. Okay. My husband and I used to live in an old apartment building in Cambridge, Massachusetts. We turned the large front room into a music/art studio, and often one or the other of us would be in there making something if we were home alone. For a little bit of background, my apartment building, and specifically my apartment, was fucked to begin with. Our landlord was a funny old Portuguese guy who had the building in his family for a few generations. He used to hang out on the stoop chatting with tenants and passerbys. During one of these casual hangs, we asked him about who had lived in our place before us. He just gave us a look and said, oh yeah, apartment 2 is cursed. We were obviously like, what the fuck? And he proceeded to tell us that the last tenants were a couple our age, and the guy had had a heart attack and just died in the apartment. The tenant before that was a weird guy who one day just vanished, leaving all of his belongings and the door open. The tenant before that was a superstitious old woman who always pinned plastic baggies of water above all the doors. ? That's the glory of true old Cambridge for you. Yeah. My husband and I are both sensitive weirdos, so we were pretty freaked out by this info, but on another level, it kind of made sense. Once when I was attempting to meditate in the living room, a harsh male voice came into my head with the words, "The devil is all right in this house." That was the only time I tried putting myself in a meditative state in that apartment. It seemed unsafe to try again. So the really freaky thing that happened was one night when I was alone in the apartment. I was sitting at the desk in the studio room and I was working on recording a song. I was in the writing stage where I was listening back to what I had recorded and trying to track some vocals. I had my headphones on and the microphone was turned up pretty loud because I was singing kind of quietly. It was kind of a peaceful, meditative vibe. I was fully in creative mode and had paused the music to write down some changes to the lyrics, and I could hear all of the little noises of the house and the street outside amplified in my headphones. Mm. Out of nowhere, a low male voice spoke through the headphones. Very slowly and clearly, it said, "You're being watched." Followed by a low, wicked cackle. My whole body immediately broke out in goosebumps and I threw the headphones off and across the room and just started bawling like uncontrollable waterworks, the kind when you know something very real and very impossible just happened. It took me a while to feel okay again being home alone, but I received a message not long after from my deceased uncle that he was just having fun playing tricks on me. I asked him to stop and he hasn't bothered me since. And that's my scary ghost story.
That's very scary. I wish that Sarah had elaborated on her uncle, like, because it seems like she was like, all this scary stuff happened, and then, oh yeah, I got a message from my uncle. He was just fucking with me, and that's so what that's I'm what saying. It was.
She's very spooky, ghosty. She like talks to spirits. So to her, that's not even the most important part of the story,
right?
But the headphone thing for some reason is so scary to me. Like that's
it's very scary.
Like, there's, what else could it fucking be?
We podcast and I also was a musician for years, so I know what that sounds like when you can hear like every tiny little thing because you're listening, because like the mic is on and you're listening to what the mic is receiving. And so it's all loud and amplified. And I can't imagine all of a sudden hearing like a voice that is so scary.
Yeah.
Very scary.
And I was always just, yeah, but she always was saging and cleansing and doing rituals and stuff to that house because she was always just so scared of, I mean, I've been to that house a million times. It
oh,
was
really?
Yeah,
does she
yeah.
still live there?
No, they just moved. But
up until recently, she was living in that house.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess she took care of it, but it's a spooky, old, weird building for sure.
Shit.
I don't like the Home Alone weird voices. That's just in general scary.
No. You know what that makes me think of? Just because this keeps jogging little memories for me. But one time when I was a really young kid, my parents left me alone for not that long. And it wasn't, I was young enough that they pretty much never left me alone. But they were like, okay, whatever it was, like there's going to be a lapse in between when the babysitter leaves and we come home or something like that. And so I'm home alone. And I started hearing this voice coming from the basement.
No.
And it was really scary. And I was so scared. And me and my brother were there. And I just kind of panicked. And we went next door to our neighbor's house. And we just told them that we heard this thing. And it turned out to be this, like, I don't know what it was, like a Street Fighter toy or something. And for some reason, it was just, you know, because it's like you pull a string or you push a button or something and it makes these noises like, "Ready to fight now," or whatever it says.
Oh my God.
And it was just going off in the basement and I heard it and I was so freaked out that I just went next door to the neighbor's house.
That is so scary.
Yeah. Holy it was very shit. Scary. That's and it was in the funny. Basement, coming from the basement. So
that's like the ultimate 90s tale, a Street Fighter thing coming from something the basement. Like that. I mean, no one has cell phones. Yeah.
No, right. Yeah. I mean, I had but my parents didn't have a cell phone, so I couldn't call them and be like, there's a ghost in the basement. Please come home.
Damn. Damn, son.
Yeah. But Sarah's story is very scary, but I also just like the idea of an uncle, because I also can picture the type of uncle that is like, I'm going to fuck with her. And be like, "You're being watched." Just kidding. Yeah. Come on, Sarah Bear. You know,
it's ridiculous. Uncles Don't do that. Uncles, when, after you die, please.
After you die, just be cool.
Chill.
All right. So my last story was sent in by a listener. So that's fun.
A stranger.
When a stranger emails. So his name is Chuck. He did tweet at us, and this is a fun story. Ready?
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. He starts off by saying, just as I sat down to write this, my dog and I both heard a light knock on the front door, but no one was there. Figures.
Dang.
Okay. Quick backstory. As far back as I can remember, my mom has been psychic. She's done over 2,000 readings and has never accepted money or gifts that were offered. To her, it's a gift, not all the time, given to her, so she only asks that people do a solid for someone else. So just, she gives you a reading, you pay it forward some other way, I guess. She can pick up past energies from antiques, do readings, has had spirits appear with messages, good and bad, and is basically a lightning rod for psychic activity. I'm 45 and have basically been dragged along for this ride unwillingly, as I tend to be more like Lou Costello from the Abbott and Costello films when he'd see scary shit. And he then says, I'm okay with orbs or good energy. Okay, so here's the beginning of the story. In 2001, my mom purchased an old ranch-style house sitting on a somewhat secluded cul-de-sac about 10 minutes from Asbury Park, New Jersey. New Jersey represent! Okay. The house her and my sisters were moving from was packed and ready for the movers. A day before the move, my mom called me and asked me to come over immediately. I got there and she brought me down to the basement where she'd had a bunch of shelves with everything in plastic tubs. It looked like someone ran through the basement pulling everything off the shelves and no one heard it, not even four dogs. Whatever was there also pulled two wires out of a pump. I don't know what kind of pump or what that means.
This is the basement of their old house that they're moving out of. Okay.
Yes. So the basement of the house that his mom was moving out of the day before her move, something pulled all these plastic tubs full of stuff down from the shelves.
Okay.
And then he says, I'd seen a female ghost in an old-fashioned 1800s type dress pacing twice in that house. There were numerous other ghost interactions at that house, and my mom wasn't quite sure if the spirits would follow. Fast forward to 2007, 2008, my sister and brother-in-law moved in with their five-year-old daughter to stay with my mom. A neighbor had given them an old playhouse that had belonged to his daughter, and it was set up in the front side yard by the woods. My niece, who hadn't been around a lot of other kids, all of a sudden had an invisible friend that lived in the goddamn playhouse.
No.
His name? Michael. I'd stop by to visit, and she'd tell us how her friend Michael wanted her to do bad things and act out. Listening to a kid say this scared the shit out of me, so I threw that playhouse in the back of a pickup truck and drove it to the dump. Unfortunately, it didn't end there. There was still activity in the house, like keys or stuff from the kitchen would go missing, then reappear later. A 30-pound bag of dog food once flew off the top of a freezer and almost hit my brother-in-law. The Rottweiler was always going after something in the master bedroom and trying to go up the wall to get it while ferociously barking. My mom had two shamans come to clean the house, to cleanse the house, and activity eventually returned both times, meaning, like, I guess the activity initially stopped after the shamans came and cleansed it, but then it would always come back. In 2015, it was just my mom in the house, and she decided to move in with my sister and her husband to help them out since they now had a few kids, and I agreed to move in and take over the mortgage. At one point before moving in, I'd stayed in the finished basement when I was between apartments, where I heard the distinct sound of a man's work boots coming down the back stairs from the garage into the basement multiple times in the middle of the night. The same sound was eventually recorded by the paranormal researchers that came to the house and set up cameras and mics.
Damn.
So now this guy lives in this house. In the time I've been here solo, there continues to be activity in the kitchen at night. I've had my shirt or hoodie pulled at, my dog's collar has gone missing off her neck and then found in strange places. The only thing I hate more than my basement is the time I drank Cisco liquor, which I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming it's not good liquor. If I have to go down there for the electric panel, I basically make a beeline right for it because it feels like something dark is watching you as you as soon as you go down the stairs. Another one of those.
Damn.
My mom says you should always say an incantation in case the old records, books, or other stuff has attachments. Part of the problem could be that I've continued to bring a bunch of old stuff into the house over the years and might say some half-assed incantation if I remember. So he's not being super responsible with the incantations. Hope the story was succinct. I'm slightly baked and much better at verbal communication. One of those ghost TV shows wanted to film here, but my mom doesn't like how they present that shit when it airs, so it was denied. Hell yeah.
Props to your mom. Yep.
Yeah, props to her. She knows. My mom could talk about her experiences for hours if you ever wanted to chat with her. She's basically just an old hippie with a cool gift, although she sees bad shit as well. Ew. Let me know if you'd like any other info, or just feel free to condense this to make it work for the podcast if you decide to discuss it.
Cute.
So that's from Chuck.
Chuck, thank you. That sounds spooky. I wonder, I do have follow-up questions. Like, I wonder if his mom... I wonder what his mom's reaction was to all this.
Right. No, yeah. I mean, we should try to talk to his mom, maybe.
Yeah. Wait, so I'm confused. It was all in the first house that they were moving out of?
No. So stuff was happening in the first house. And then when he said flash forward, they had
were
moved
in the
into
new
the
house.
Second house. Yes. They had
that
moved into
also
the new house.
Fucked up.
That also was haunted. Yeah, and it's possible that it's just because his mom is, like he said,
right.
a lightning rod for spirits and things of that nature.
Must be exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, we know people like that.
Yeah.
Probably is exhausting.
And they're crazy, so. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, old hippies know the deal. They always have, and they still do.
They always will. And they
you
still
know?
Do.
And yep. So you got to trust
Except
an
sometimes
old
when they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying your average boomer. I mean, like a true old hippie, you know, still mm-hmm. wears the double gray braids or something, you know?
Yeah. Willie Nelson.
So, Willie Nelson style. Basically only trust Willie Nelson. But
I only trust Willie Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless him. I wonder if he's seen a ghost. We should reach out.
We should ask.
Should reach out.
Reach out to his people. I feel like he probably has.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. He's been
Willie,
the haunted
if you're listening,
South.
Get in touch.
He's definitely a listener. We know. We know. We've got Willie.
Come on.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really
thanks.
Fun.
Thanks to everybody who took the time of writing us a ghost story. We love reading them. This should be like a rolling kind of submission if anybody just wants to write something in at any time.
Yeah, please. Please send us your ghost stories or, you know, get in touch with us. Maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe we'll read your story. I would love for this to be a recurring thing.
Yeah, totally. Cool. All right.
Well,
stay spooky, guys.
Yeah, stay spooky, stay safe and healthy. Keep social distancing and let us know if any haunted shit pops up.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Keep us in the know. And if you happen to clean out your closet and find some old ghost hunting gear, you know where to send it.
Yeah.
Ghost to show you, P.O. box. Just kidding.
Can you imagine if we had a P.O. box? I can't wait. I hope that
we
day
should.
Comes.
I mean, one day we'll get a P.O. box for sure.
Okay,
but remember
great.
In the 90s when every single thing was like, you can write to like spill your guts at P.O.
Stick
box.
Stickly.
Blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
10108, baby.
Wow. This kid was Stickly for Halloween one year. What's his name? Dan Loxton. Was Stickly for Halloween, and it was just like such a great costume.
Sure.
Talk about, you know, having a really timely, good reference Halloween costume. It was so good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The 90s were it, man.
If you've seen Stickly, write us.
Or if you are Stickly, what up?
And you've been in hiding, we're looking for you.
It's time to come out and do an investigative podcast about where you've been and exploit you for everything you're worth. Okay.
That's right. Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Review, rate, and subscribe.
Yeah. Ghost to Show You is created by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. Editing is by me. Our original music is by LP, and our artwork is by Paco Park. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. Or, you know, tell somebody about it. Thanks for listening. See you next time.